are the called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place with in the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in a cloud upon that mercy seat. And Aaron shall come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering. And he shall put on a holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats for a sin offering, and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the 2 coats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell, to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Amen. I'd like to talk for a little bit tonight, not hold you long. The land of God's forgetting. Praise God. It's a beautiful story here in Leviticus, the story of the scapegoat, that it has actually become part of modern slang. So-and-so was the scapegoat. The kid that offers to take the whipping for the rest of them for what has been done. Amen. He often has been heard to say, I'll be the goat. Because he took upon himself. My wife talks about her brother who took whippings for her. Freddie's gone into eternity. She still talks about him taking whippings for her. Amen. The scapegoat. This beautiful story of the 2 kid goats that they cast lots upon tell us much about our own position before God. Praise God. Does God hold our past sins against us? Does he remember them anymore? Amen. I want you to notice this grand and glorious lesson taught in the book of God. Hallelujah. 2 goats. They cast lots. It's our way of saying drew straws. Amen. Or drawed names. Amen. It's a way of choosing 1 goat to die and 1 goat to live. 1 goat would die, shed his blood for the sins of Israel. And the living goat, the priest would lay his hands upon his head and put the sins of Israel on the living goat to be carried away into the wilderness. Amen. I'm going to call it the land of God's forgetting. Hallelujah. In the wilderness of Judea. What a story. What a beautiful thought. Praise God. What happened to your sins? What happens to our sins? Amen. God took them away. Amen. How did he do it? Jesus fulfilled the story of both goats. He was both the goat that died and the one that lived to carry away the sins forevermore. Praise God. Jesus fulfilled the type of both goats. Amen. He was both the goat that was sacrificed and the one that carried our sins away. Hallelujah. John the Baptist in St. John's Gospel 1:29, when he saw Jesus coming, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." What makes the difference in those in heaven that sinned and those in hell that sinned? Everyone in heaven can testify to the fact that Jesus took our sins away. He taketh away the sins of the world. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? You see, in the last analysis, there is no one that has not sinned. There is no one that is without sin. And there are no big sins and no little sins as far as God and eternity is concerned. It's all sin. You see, Eve didn't kill nobody. She didn't commit abortion. Eve didn't commit a felony. Amen. She only ate the forbidden fruit. But in that microscopic sin was the leaven that leavened the whole world. The leaven that infected the whole human race. Amen. Richard preached about that leaven the other night. How that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I'll tell you something, folks. God forgave all of us of a whole bunch. You see, you don't have to do anything to go to hell but be born. Amen. I don't teach that babies go to hell, but I teach we come to the age of accountability very soon. And as soon as we get old enough and our mind comes of age to know right and wrong, God holds us accountable. We may be an innocent 8-year-old and still go to hell. Because there's very few 8-year-olds that haven't already learned to lie and to take things that don't belong to them and to even use bad words, amen, and to disobey its parents contrary to the Bible. Amen. C.M. Ward preached his sermon, 10-year-olds in hell. D.L. Moody, amen, said he got 1.5 people saved last night. And they said, "Oh, you had one adult and one child." "No," he said, "I got one child and one adult. You see, the child, I got all his life, and the adult, I only got half their life. 1.5. Amen. God says, "Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Amen. I want to tell you tonight, amen, we're coming of age very early. Kids get smart quick nowadays. They no more seem like than they've ever known. Amen. I learned to cuss before I could remember cussing. I learned to use bad language. They told me what I said. I didn't even remember it. I was just using the language that my family used. Amen. At a very early age. But thank God, one of the first things I can remember is going to church in an old country schoolhouse. As we walked around the church, I remember what they told me as we walked around the church in the dark. They didn't go to church till dark 30 in the country. Amen. It was unheard of to go to church in daylight with the sun shining bright. We went to church at dark 30. Here we are going to church in the country. And I'm walking around the church with my parents, my brothers and my sisters. Amen. And they said, "Watch out, Junior, and don't step in that hole." It's the first thing I can ever remember is going to church. Praise God. In an old country church. And watch out. And don't step in that hole. Hey, we learn to sin as soon as we can remember. All Israel needed a sacrifice. And so God gave them a lamb. God gave them a bullock. He gave them a priest to represent him. Amen. And told that priest to take two kids and draw lots. And one of them would die and shed his blood. Jesus would fill the type of that perfectly. The other would live to carry away the sins of Israel into the wilderness. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for the land of God's forgetting. I'm glad that God cast our sins into the sea, as the prophet said. And as Corrie ten Boom said, he puts up a sign, "No fishing." Hallelujah. We call it the sea of God's forgetfulness. Amen. The scapegoat would wander in the wilderness of Judea, get lost in the mountains of Judea. And our sins, Israel's sins, would be lost with him in the land of God's forgetting. Hallelujah. You know what you need to do about your brother's sins? You need to do just like God did Israel's sins. Praise God. Put it on the scapegoat and send it away into the land of God's forgetting. Because you see, if you hold your brother's sins against him, amen, and he's already repented of them, God will hold ours against us. He said, "If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive those that trespass against him." Amen. Amen. So we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Forgive us our sins, our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those who sinned against us, who are indebted to us, who have trespassed against us. For if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of your trespasses." Amen. Where do we put them? Send them into the land of God's forgetting. Praise God. That's the way God did us. Aren't you glad that when you stand before the judge of all mankind, when you stand before the blazing judgment of the living God, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, there'll not be a thing. Amen. What happened to your sins, brother? What happened to your sins? Here you are at the judgment. Amen. One time a sinner, what happened to them? Jesus took them away. The Bible said in another scripture, fulfilling the scapegoat again, "God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." When that high priest laid his hand on that goat's head, he put all the iniquities of Israel on the scapegoat. Amen. Not the Judas goat, but the scapegoat. Brother Lee Irvin worked at the stockyards, the International Stockyards in East St. Louis, Illinois, for a while after he moved up there. Amen. They had an old goat named Judas that they had a special job for. Amen. You see, sheep need a leader, and they'll follow almost anything. And so, they'd try to drive the sheep up the chute to the slaughter, and they couldn't. So, they trained this old goat with a bell on. and the old goat would trot up the chute. He was trained to jump over the barricade. Amen. And the sheep just followed him in. And they closed the gate behind them. And one by one they took them to the slaughter. The goat jumped over with his bell on and ran around and led another bunch of sheep. Amen. And the country had leg of lamb and lamb chops because of old Judas leading them up the ramp. Amen. But this scapegoat is no such betrayer. No, no, no. He carries away the sins, never to be remembered anymore against them. Aren't you glad tonight that God has such a provision that it'll make the vilest sinner clean? The Bible said if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? God Himself, in that grand act of Calvary, His death of His Son, and the resurrection of His Son, both atoned for our sins and then bore them away into the land of God's forgetting. It's a wonderful thing to be justified, for the word contains in its very syllables what it means. It means just as if I never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. When Jesus cleanses your sin, dare anybody to bring them up again. When Jesus washes away your sin, woe be to the one that goes fishing in the sea of God's forgetfulness. You're liable to drown out there if you don't get off of that. Amen. When Jesus carries away our sins into the wilderness, woe be to the one that sends out a search party to find the scapegoat. You'd have a hard time telling which one it was. For after a while, there were several running wild with millions of people's sins carried away and forgotten forevermore. Tonight, Jesus presents you with the prospect of being clean for 1996. Sister Collins took a whole bunch of pretty dresses to the cleaners a while ago to get them cleaned. Amen. I mean a bunch of them, a whole big bunch of them to get them cleaned. How would you like to start 1996? With a clean slate. Amen. Jesus has made provision for your sins. Confess them. Tell God you're sorry. And believe on Jesus Christ to save you. Hallelujah. He'll forgive you. And you can begin brand new. Praise God. But you say, Brother Cone, I've failed so many times. So did Israel. So did Solomon. So did David. So did the prophets. Amen. Solomon said, there is no man that sinneth not. Amen. Oh God. John said, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar. Amen. Oh, praise God. But if we confess our sins, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Hallelujah. If you'll be honest with God, He'll be faithful and true to you. Child, no matter how young, how old. Amen. Oh, I used to cherish the false ideology because I was taught it by some folks that was older than me, that you were not accountable for your sins, your lies, your bad words, your meanness until you was 12 years old. So when I was 10 and 11, I had 2 years yet when I was 10 to live it up. I still had a year left when I was 11. But I couldn't quit, you see, when I was 12. Amen. I was already a sinner before I was 12 years old. Time went on. Such filthiness, such vileness, amen, such wickedness out of a child, amen, sneaking, low down, lying, amen. Oh, God, me. Except when I got in front of mommy and nice folks, boy, I just straightened up and looked like an angel. But when I got out of hearing, I turned into a devil. Amen. You know what? I carried that load of sin. There was times that depression of conviction would sweep over my soul, and I'd ask God to forgive me. But I never did commit to Him. I never did accept Jesus as Lord and really get saved. I just wanted Him to forgive me. I tried to bargain with Him. I said, Lord, if You won't make my life unhappy, I'll not do so and so. I never kept any of my promises to God. I couldn't. I needed help. I needed what Nicodemus got. I needed to be born again. I preached about that Saturday night. Jesus' message to one man. And I preached again Sunday night. Jesus' message to one woman. Amen. Young Icho, David Young Icho in South Korea, Seoul, South Korea, has a church, the last I heard, with over 150,000 members. I like to hear Brother Hughes tell about, amen, fighting in Korea. It was because of the sacrifice of American boys. Thousands of them died. That when Sister Collins and I just a few years ago rode on a bus from Seoul Airport down through the eastern part, western part of Seoul, Korea, to Incheon, to a motel, as it got dark, we noticed a forest of neon crosses sticking up everywhere. I didn't know there could be so many churches in a foreign land. But because of the price of men that left here and went to Korea, amen, they can have a church, one church in Seoul, with 150,000 members. But they were everywhere, folks. Little neon crosses sticking up everywhere, over even houses, as the house church thrives in Seoul and in China. Amen. Why? Because they've been close to annihilation. They've been close to the overrunning of communism and atheism. America's boys gave them a chance. And I want to tell you something, folks. They're taking it and going with it. Some of them are. Hallelujah. Hundreds of thousands of Christians, praise God. Amen. Why? Because they know, and we know too, they may be living on borrowed time. Amen. But as I walk the streets of Hong Kong, or Kowloon, which is a suburb of Hong Kong, and everywhere on the streets of that still free land, there was ungodliness, smut and pornography, right out for everybody to see. Amen. Big, bold headings on books. It seemed there was no shame. They don't know in Kowloon that they're living on borrowed time. They don't know in Hong Kong that they're living on borrowed time. Amen. We found a church to go to, a charismatic church. Amen. We didn't know it. We was anxious to go to any kind of a church. Amen. And so we walked into a church there somewhere. Amen. They were nice to us, and they had earphones for people that needed to hear if you was off in a section that couldn't see. They had closed circuit TV that would let you see. Amen. And I noticed that there was some girls that were dressed in white, skirts like. It didn't occur to me. Sister Back said they were ballerina skirts and that they had on ballerina shoes. Amen. We sat there, and as the service progressed and they got to singing, amen, here came those girls out twirling in those ballerina skirts and those red ballerina shoes. Amen. That was the way that the Pentecostals was dancing in the spirits in Kowloon. They don't know that they're living on borrowed time. Many in America tonight don't know that they're living on borrowed time. Oh, and it's so unnecessary, the judgments that are soon to come upon our land. So unnecessary, when God has made abundant provision for our sins. If the church would only repent, amen, of its apostasies, of its backslidings, of its sins, Christ would forgive them. And their sins would wind up in the land of God's forgetting. But oh, folks, right in church tonight, they've waxed as bold as lions. Multitudes of them come and fill churches and hide behind each other to sin. They don't want the pastor knowing anything about their private life. Amen. And dare anybody preach against sin. Most of the huge successful churches, so-called, no longer even mention the word sin. Well, folks, if there's no sin, who needs a Savior? If there's no sin, who needs Jesus? If there's no sin, why try? Amen. I believe there's still plenty of sin to be repented of around. I believe, praise God, that we can have a clear conscience tonight. A honest to God cleansed soul. Amen. And our past will be forever forgiven and forgotten because Christ has taken away the iniquity of us all. Stand with me. Praise God, and let's pray. Father, maybe there's somebody here tonight that's on the brink of backsliding. Maybe their feet have already well nigh slipped. Oh God, and the judgment day is coming upon the backslider and those that go away from God and those that refuse to pray. I pray that men and women will cry out to God, that our land under judgment tonight will cry out to God, and that they will be saved, that the church and every member in particular will wash their garments and make them white and spotless without wrinkle in the blood of the Lamb, in the fires of our Holy Ghost, that we might be ready for your coming. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, let's come, let's pray. Let's trust Jesus. Let's ask God to save our friends, our loved ones, every backslider, to bring them back ere it's everlasting and eternally too late. Amen.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, seek Jesus.
That fettered you and me.